The Property Pod. Welcome to The Property Pod with MoneyWeb. The property sector is an ever-changing sector. And in this podcast series, your host, Suren Naidu, chats to movers and shakers in the property industry.
Welcome to another episode of The Property Pod, South Africa's premier property investor podcast. My name is Suren Naidu, and on this MoneyWeb show, we gain insider insights from leading executives, analysts, developers, and entrepreneurs in the country's dynamic property industry. The Cape Town property development boom is not new, but it is still going strong. We have covered it on the podcast and through stories on MoneyWeb over the years, including an interview with Rob Kane, the chair of the Cape Town City Improvement District, back in 2023. On the latest podcast, we get an update of sorts, but also examine the growing trend of mixed-use property developments in the mother city. Our guest is Grant Elliott, Deputy Chair of the CCID and Chief Operating Officer of Tybalt Investments, to give us the latest insights on the development scene in Cape Town. Welcome to the Property Pod, Grant.
Hi, Suren. Thanks very much, and thanks for having me on the show.
Mixed-use property development isn't exactly a new thing when you look up at places like the V&A Waterfront, which was developed in the 1990s, the likes of Carlton Centre, even Sandton City, and numerous developments across the country. But you or the CCID in a recent report say that there seems to be a surge in mixed-use development in Cape Town. Can you share some insights on that?
Certainly, we're certainly seeing a surge in mixed-use developments in Cape Town at the moment. Cape Town and surrounds, that is. There are 12 that we're aware of that are happening, and more that are in the planning stages. The largest at the moment is the development of the Riverlands Quarter on the banks of the Liesbeek River in Observatory, which is home to the new Amazon headquarters and is a pretty big 4.5 billion rand property development, which includes shopping centres and housing and the like. And then in the CBD of Cape Town, we've got the conversion of the old Christian Barnard Academic Hospital into the Mama Shelter Africa, which is a very eclectic overseas brand, hospitality brand by Ennismore. And that is also in and around the 1.5 billion rand investment mark. There are a number of others like the Spindle, which is also on Plain Street in the CBD. But my estimate is there's probably around 10 billion rands worth of mixed-use development that's either on the go or in the pipeline for the near future in Cape Town at the moment.
That is quite significant. It's interesting to see you with all the cranes on the go, and that probably excludes some of what's happening and bigger plans around the V&A Waterfront. What are the factors driving this trend, especially for the mother city, considering the boom that's happened, particularly over the last 5 to 10 years?
Look, there's a number of things. I think firstly, we've got to wind the clock back to probably 2018 and 2019, where in South Africa at large, and Cape Town was slightly more shielded, other than Johannesburg, but you had large office vacancies in the CBDs around the country. The office sector was certainly under pressure at the time. And then obviously we all know what happened in late 2019 and early 2020 when the pandemic hit. And you had this now work from home trend, you had the lockdowns, etc. And the result of that was that landlords had large spaces that were vacant, particularly in the office buildings. And that has, in the aftermath of the pandemic, resulted in a lot of conversions of those office spaces into residential. We've seen that in particular in the CBD of Cape Town. And then secondly, I think the second factor, and one has to give credit to the city of Cape Town, is the real drive that they have at the moment in and around economic development, promotion of tourism, and infrastructure development. There's an incredible amount of money and investment that's going on into Cape Town and its infrastructure, to continue to be attractive and the number one tourist destination on the continent for the foreseeable future.
Besides the city of Cape Town being the best run metro in South Africa, what role does the Cape Town City Improvement District play in luring investment? Because I spoke to Rob, as I mentioned before, and that came off the back of a trip in Cape Town where I walked the streets and I took pictures and there was so much happening.
Look, so the Cape Town Central City Improvement District, as you know, is a public-private partnership with the City of Cape Town. It's been around since the early 2000s. I'm obviously biased. I have been on the board of directors for over a decade. But it's probably the best example of a city improvement district in the country. We like to think of ourselves as being the number one, and it certainly competes with our international peers in Europe and in the United States. And I'll just give you a couple of examples. You know, from a security perspective, we've got over 100 security guards, security officers on the streets of Cape Town at any one point in time. They're all equipped with body-worn cameras, so there's footage of whatever happens. We've got 16 law enforcement officers contracted to us from the city of Cape Town. We've got 5 patrol vehicles. We've got 6 traffic marshals. And we've got more than 65 cleaners that are on the ground also at any one point in time. So there is an immense amount of work that gets done to make sure that the streets are clean, that the streets are safe, and that everybody that's working and or coming to visit the streets of the CBD are feeling safe.
Thanks for that. I saw some of that in action with that group of formerly unemployed people now employed by the CCID. Quite an interesting initiative that is. Grant, talking about...
That initiative is called Straatwerk. And they again undertake a whole host of repairs and maintenance activities across the city, you know, from filling of potholes to beautification efforts on St. George's Mall and the pedestrianized streets and repairing of curbstones, etc. And it's also a wonderful way to give back.
Thanks for that. Sorry, I interjected there while you were speaking. But on the topic of City of Cape Town, a hot topic at the moment is the rates increase. Do you think, I know the city has backtracked a little bit and is toning down on the increase, but it was quite an outcry, not just from residents, but even from the likes of SOPOA. What are your thoughts on this? Could this have an impact potentially on development going forward, or it doesn't matter because all the dollars and pounds from foreign investors are also coming in?
Look, they've certainly backtracked to a degree, but in essence, that was really to give some relief to property owners in the band from sort of 1.5 million rand in property value up to about 7 million rand in property value. So for commercial property owners, you know, that sits, you know, generally way above that band, there is still going to be an impact. The higher your costs are, operating costs are going forward, obviously the lower your development yields will be. But I'm not necessarily seeing this as a huge negative. I think that the demand for quality property is still going to be there. I think developers still have appetite, and they will merely adjust their models and their developments to suit. And again, mixed-use properties, you know, go a long way to protecting asset values. We all know that property is a cyclical industry, and where one category is struggling, the other will pick it up. So I'm seeing it will have some impact, but I don't think it's going to be catastrophic at all.
Thanks for that. And then going back to mixed-use developments, why are they proving so resilient, especially in the cyclical nature of the property industry?
Well, it's really for that reason exactly. You know, if you look at companies with property portfolios that they've had over many years, and they've diversified their assets into different asset classes for exactly that reason, is to make sure that when one industry is not doing well, the next is. And it's no different in doing that in a single asset. We at Tarbolt Investments, we did a conversion of the old BP Centre a couple of years ago. In fact, we started it while we were in the middle of the pandemic. It's a 29-storey building, and it was predominantly vacant. And we decided to convert the top half of that building into residential accommodation. There's over 430 apartments that we put in. The balance of the building from floor 15 down to ground floor is full, basically with office tenants. And then we've got facilities like restaurants and conferencing facilities and gyms. And it's proved to be very, very successful. Our occupancies have been great. Our offices are full. Our rentals are climbing. We invested about R500 million in the development. So I expect that it will continue, and more developers will do the same thing as we move forward.
It's particularly interesting, this conversion side of things. It's happening across the country. But were you talking specifically about the One Tybalt Square development? I thought it was a Standard Bank building. Was it a BP building?
It was originally developed in the early 1970s. It was until Portside was built. It was the tallest building on the Cape Town cityscape, and it was built by the Mines Pension Fund for BP way back in the day. But people know it these days as the Standard Bank building because there is a Standard Bank advertising sign on the top of the building, and a Standard Bank tenancy in the annex building next door. But yes, we rebranded it to One Tybalt.
And there's quite a bit of hotel or apartment hotel side of things. I actually stayed there a few years ago. Can you give us some insight on how the mixed use works there? Because obviously it is in the CBD.
So when we developed or redeveloped the building, we actually sold off 5 floors of the residential that we converted, and those were floors 15 to 20, and we sold those to individual investors. But there were a whole pool of investors that bought at the time under the Section 12J of the Income Tax Act. And by virtue of that, their units had to go into a rental pool, and they are managed by an apart hotel management company called Wink. And Wink caters to the market at large for short-term stay, as do we in the units that we retained on floors 21 to 28. We were quite lucky with the building in that we've got two banks of lifts, one which are low-rise lifts which go only to the 12th or 15th floor, and then a second bank of lifts which actually go right the way up to the 29th. So we were able to split our lobby. So managing these buildings on mixed use is not always straightforward. But we were fortunate here in that this building lent itself very nicely to a conversion, and it's been working very well. I'm glad to hear that you've stayed with us.
Just to ask, Tybalt, I saw on your LinkedIn profile it refers to Tybalt REIT. Are there other projects under the Tybalt brand that's on the go?
Yes, so the Tybalt REIT we listed on the Cape Town Stock Exchange here couple of years ago. It's since then undergone a merger with the Heriot REIT, so we're a wholly owned subsidiary, but there are plenty other projects that are ongoing. In fact, we converted two further buildings in the CBD of Cape Town, one at the top of Adderley Street, being the old Absa building, and then the other being two Adderley Street, which was the old Union building. We now call Haven, and we operate both of those two developments, Haven and Habitat, as apart hotels as well. So we've got over 630 residential apartment units in the CBD alone, and then we're also constructing various properties around Cape Town as well.
Is there a bigger split between, like, are you seeing more conversions of office to this sort of mixed use setup? Or is it more brand new developments? Because you talked about the Amazon Center development, but that's not in the CBD. But I know there is quite a few others, including the one led by Abland on the foreshore.
There's a mix of both, Surin. So there are many conversions that have been done already, and there are a few that are on the go as well at the moment. And then you've obviously got the bigger stuff, which is new and coming out of the ground. It's a mix. The returns are, funny enough, well, not funny enough, but the returns are better on the conversion side of things than because obviously new builds are much more costly. But it really is a mix between the two. And I think what you'll see over time is that the conversions will slow as the stock obviously starts to be eliminated and reduces. And then hopefully again in the cyclical nature of the industry, you will start seeing, more new builds coming up in the CBD itself.
Considering Cape Town is so well run and the initiatives like the CCID, that probably explains why you have one of the lowest office vacancies in the country. But just to conclude, Grant, What are your expectations going forward in terms of the development pipeline? You talked to 10 billion rand figure earlier, but anything really big or exciting else, either through the CCID or other developments that are coming up on the cards that's worth taking note of, besides the 20 billion rand plans for the V&A waterfront?
They certainly are, and I think everybody must watch the space, so to speak. There are a number of new proposed developments in the CBD that will come to market shortly. Some of them are quite exciting, and I think also we mustn't forget the student residential mixed use as well. You know, we've seen what's happened at the Cape Station. You've got over 3,000 beds of student residential that was put up there, coupled with a retail precinct that's been, you know, incredibly upgraded. We, in fact, ourselves are busy with a mixed-use student residential development in Mowbray called the Fibonacci, which will have over 560 student residential beds plus a shopping center. And I think that if you wind the clock back every single year, there is an outcry in and around January and February about a shortage of beds for students. And that's across the board. That's not just Cape Town. That's across the country. And I think that trend will also continue. And I think that the CBD will probably also see new student residential developments that come online in the near future.
Well, that's good to hear. I'm glad you mentioned student accommodation. That's definitely a big thing across the country. But I've also seen it myself with that development at the Cape Town station. Grant, thank you so much for your time on the podcast. That was Grant Elliott, the COO of Tybalt Investments, and he's also the deputy chair of the Cape Town Central City Improvement District.
Thanks for listening to the MoneyWeb Property Pod with Suren Naidu. To listen to more episodes, go to moneyweb.co.za or the MoneyWeb app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates. Follow Suren on Twitter at Suren Naidu for more of his property industry content and other business stories. The Property Pod.